I'm not sure if I mentioned it before, but when my friend Clay Mason Bannerman and I want to impress our new lady friends, Tiffer and Mickey, we don't even have to take them to a restaurant. That's because we have an entire freezer stocked full of ButcherBox, and that includes high-quality meat and seafood that we can trust. It's so convenient. It's delivered right to our doorstep, and there's always free shipping. I mean, where else can you get free protein for a whole year? Tiffer and Mickey love it, and so will you. At least one of them is always around asking when the new ButcherBox is arriving. Sign up at butcherbox.com/mega and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. Choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/mega and use code MEGA to choose your free for a year offer plus $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Because I really value truth, misinformation really, really scares me. And that's why I'm excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that dismantles New Age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis. At their best, they attack public health efforts in times of crisis, and at their worst, it's like they're recruiting for the fever dream of QAnon. On Conspirituality, you will have a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic all discussing stories and cult dynamics and helping educate us and using proven science as their guiding light. I really recommend the Jordan Klepper episode talking about creating comedy in the MAGAverse. Jordan's incredible. And I also really love the Medical Medium episode. It's really good, and not just because I've had my own weird experiences with mediums. From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality Podcast will help you stay informed against misinformation and resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are here, Lord, we are here, and we're ready to podcast.
Hiya, I'm Hallie Labonte, and this is Mega the Podcast, where we are giving our mega church a tiny family feel by introducing you to members of our church staff and community. Oh, what a true treat and a true treasure. Thanks for being with us today, friends, and Happy New Year. Well, just like Psalms 127:4 says, like straight arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Just like that, we trust our youth with one straight man only, and that's Gray Haas, everybody.
Hey, Hallie, how you doing? So nice to see you.
So lovely to see you today, sir. I am too blessed to be stressed, my friend.
Well, so am I. I was a bit stressed earlier, and I'll tell you why. I got a call about 2 a.m. This morning, and it was my friend Clay Mason Bannerman.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure if you remember him.
Yeah.
He's a guy I hang out with a lot, and we've gotten really close. I love to do devotionals together and work out.
His wife left him, right? She was infidelity?
Right. Yeah, that's just been a pretty dark chapter, and I've just kind of been helping him through that.
Sure.
So I got a call from Clay Mason. He was on vacation down in Turks and Caicos. And I pick up the phone. Couldn't believe he was calling me so late. Good thing I had my phone on. And Hallie, he was crying. And I guess what happened is he had gone down to Turks and Caicos with another friend, a guy named Rory Jakubiak. And they were having a great time. They were doing a lot of jet skiing, and they tried something. Hallie, have you heard of a thing called Fly Ride by Zapata?
No, what's that?
Fly Ride by Zapata is an aqua bike that you hook to a jet ski, and someone sits in the jet ski, and then you can fly all over the water using a stream from the jet ski on this little sort of attachable bike.
Cool.
It's awesome, Hallie. I've really been wanting to get into it.
Yeah.
But I guess Clay Mason was doing this with Rory Jakubiak, and something went wrong, Hallie, and Rory flew the Fly Ride by Zapata into the side of a shrimp boat, and he was killed instantly. And Clay Mason was on the jet ski while this was happening.
Oh, no.
And I know, and he was just really upset, And I was just praying with him, and I said, you know what? He's in a better place. And he said, you know what? He's probably not, because he wasn't a Christian.
Oh, no.
And I said, okay, what are the next steps? What's going on down there? He said, well, we couldn't bring the body out of Turks and Caicos. The government wouldn't let us. So we had to cremate him there. And he, I guess, had to call his family and just say, I had to do the whole thing here. And they had signed a waiver, so there's pretty much no recourse, because these are experimental jet ski water bikes.
Wow.
So Clay Mason, I just want to ask everyone to pray for Clay Mason and to pray for Rory Jakubiak and his whole family, because he's got six kids.
Oh.
And what's really sad is he used to call the kids the little shrimps.
Oh.
I know.
Wow.
I was like, that is just sick.
That is so sad.
And so, yeah, just praise for Clay Mason. He's coming back. He was in the Turks and Caicos when he called me. Yeah, he said, you know, I'm on the Turks now. I'm going to leave the Caicos tomorrow, and I'll call you when I get back.
Well, he is so lucky to have such a good friend in you, Gray.
Yeah, I mean, I love being the person that people call in these times. It's part of my job. But, you know, I just thought, it's just pretty sad that they were trying to do this experimental jet ski water bike.
Yeah.
Fly Ride by Zapata.
Mm.
Although, if they did ever want to sponsor a podcast, I think this might be a good podcast for them.
Yeah, that would be so cool.
Right.
Yeah. Wow, that's so cool. Yeah. Well, I will definitely put him on my prayer list, and I can make some casseroles if you want to take him over to Clay Mason Bannerman's house.
That would be awesome. You know, he's paleo, so I'm not sure if he does a casserole, but if it's just mostly, you know, sort
okay.
of meat and...
Yeah, I could just throw some meat and cheese in there.
Yeah, probably no cheese, actually.
Oh,
just,
okay.
Yeah, just put some meat in a Pyrex.
Oh, okay.
How's your week, Hallie?
You know what? I kind of had a hard time, my friend, over the holidays. I was struggling a little bit with an article that I read in Christianity Today that came out in December.
Right.
And
I heard about it.
It just really rocked my world, and I was struggling with it a lot. And you know what? I wrote a letter to the editor, and I canceled my subscription. And I really have come to rely on that magazine to really let me know kind of how to process what's happening in the world through a Christian perspective.
Right. Yeah. I was so disappointed.
I was just devastated. And I guess, you know, all of this happened. They lost 5,000 subscribers. They gained 15 million or something, and but look at this. I brought the magazine in, and look at this article. This is the title of the article that just destroyed me.
Do pets go to heaven?
Yeah, and you know what they
right.
said? The overwhelming answer was no.
Really?
And honestly, I don't know, Gray. I don't. So you know, I have my corgis and my Frenchies, and they're my life. And to me, heaven would be to be with my Frenchies and my corgis.
Right.
And it was this article that came out. It came out on New Year's Eve. And it said, these are the most famous, popular Christianity Today articles of the whole decade, you know?
Right.
And pets go to heaven was one of those. You know, I thought it was really interesting too, because I looked at all the articles that were the most popular of the whole decade. And I thought it was really interesting because, do you know what? Almost all the articles were about like four different topics. Could you guess what they were? These are the most read Christianity Today articles of the decade.
I can't think.
They were about female masturbation.
Really?
They were about trans stuff, or as Christianity Today calls it, it's like body dysphoria or euphoria or something.
Okay.
And homosexual stuff, and our current president.
Really?
Yeah. And look, it's in this magazine. Look at these titles. What could possibly be wrong with Christian masturbation? In both marriage and singleness, our bodies are not just for ourselves.
Okay.
Look at this one. Why God and the Gay Christian is Wrong About the Bible and Same-Sex Relationships. Matthew Vines rehashes older arguments for a modern audience, but those arguments still don't square with Scripture.
Really?
Look at this one. The real problem with female masturbation. Call it what it is. Ladies who lust.
I didn't even realize that was a thing.
I know. Me either. But there's
two different... must be something new.
Two different Christianity Today articles, most highly read of the whole decade, about female masturbation. I said, what? Ladies who lust? Then it said, understanding the transgender phenomenon. The leading Christian scholar on gender dysphoria defines the terms and gives the church a way forward. Look at this one. Theology of Donald Trump. This one. Do pets go to heaven? I don't want to talk about it. Look at this one. My train wreck conversion. A leftist lesbian professor. I despised Christian. Then I somehow became one.
Three too many L's in that article right there.
Look at this one. I never became straight. Perhaps that was never God's goal. Why I embraced the Bible's sexual ethic before I even understood it.
You know, Hallie, I just think it's so great that at least they lost a few people, but they've gained so many more people to get this important type of information.
That's right. Look at this one. Six things to do after the Supreme Court decision on gay marriage. Now is not the time to sulk.
Oh yeah, I was super depressed after that.
I was just devastated. I can't even look at that building anymore, even though it has beautiful architecture.
I did 300 burpees that day.
Look at this one. Another one. Getting to the root of female masturbation and the surprising role the church can play in helping women curb addiction
You can get addicted to it.
Well,
really?
I don't know.
It's just amazing. I can't believe these things. You know, when these new trends come around, you can really fall into a trap. I wonder how long that's been going on. I bet that started around 2008.
That could be.
Right.
Hey, listener, it's Zach Harper, Amin Alhassan, and Anthony Mays of Cinephobe. You may be asking yourself, what is Cinephobe? Amin, would you like to fill in the people?
Cinephobe is the podcast where Zach and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain.
Ascertain?
Yes.
Okay.
Ascertain. Whether or not they're accurately poorly rated, or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe, produced by this guy, Anthony Mays.
Hey, that's me. I produced this show. I also watch the movies, even though that wasn't included in the description, and I also ascertain. This month is...
Whoa!
Oh, Maze, why'd you say that? Supercharge it. So that this promo can remain evergreen.
I feel like explaining a little bit more.
In 60 seconds?
I don't know. Maybe I don't bring attention to it. Assuring people like, look, if you listen, you're going to get it. Just give it time.
That's a good promo. Just listen to it.
Give it time.
You'll figure it out.
Is this the promo right now?
Isn't it?
Okay, I think we got it.
Cinephobe.
Wherever you get podcasts.
Because I really value truth, misinformation really, really scares me. And that's why I'm excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that dismantles New Age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis. At their best, they attack public health efforts in times of crisis, and at their worst, it's like they're recruiting for the fever dream of QAnon. On Conspirituality, you will have a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic all discussing stories and cult dynamics and helping educate us and using proven science as their guiding light. I really recommend the Jordan Klepper episode talking about creating comedy in the MAGAverse. Jordan's incredible. And I also really love the Medical Medium episode. It's really good, and not just because I've had my own weird experiences with mediums. From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality Podcast will help you stay informed against misinformation and resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Well, just like husband and wife Ananias and Sapphira fell over dead from telling a lie, I cannot tell a lie. You're going to fall over dead in love with our married guest today. Please welcome Derek Raymond and Bette 11th, everybody.
Hello.
Thank you.
Hello. Welcome. Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's so nice to see the both of you. Now, just to let the audience know, you dress sort of head to toe in just a khaki color.
Yes.
And you've got sort of a... explorer hats?
Safari hats.
Safari hats. Yes, those are cool. Those are really cool.
Yeah, this is pretty much all we wear.
Yeah.
It looks like you're out of that movie Out of Africa or something like that.
Except we're out of the Amazon.
Yeah.
Oh, Amazon.
Yes. Yeah.
Where's the Amazon again?
Due south.
Oh, yeah.
Far south from Africa.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got a river running through it, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about what you do down in the Amazon for Twin Hills Church.
We are basically missionaries of sort, but we practice medicine and, you know, really go down there on, or I guess up there if you're going from Africa, to help a lot of the people of the Amazon who are not familiar with the church or who are not familiar with a lot of the Western medicines that we have access to.
Yeah, I think that's such a powerful ministry. Medical missionaries are so powerful because you can minister their bodies, and then you can, you know, tell them about Christ.
Mm-hmm. People, you know, what I find is that people listen when they have to. Mm. You know, if they're laying there and they can't move, you say, oh, I'm going to treat you. And then they say, well, I'm already in this bed. So if you start talking, they're there.
No option.
Yeah,
it's the perfect time to give the message.
Captive audience.
Completely. Yeah, you can go on for hours.
Yeah.
And even, you know, make the medicine a treat.
Oh, really?
The reward for going through a long session of hearing about the church or the Bible.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if you convert, hey, guess what I've got?
You get another dose.
Penicillin. Yeah. You know, you toy around a little bit like
oh,
that.
Oh, they love penicillin down there. They can't get enough of it.
Literally.
Wow.
Literally.
Yeah. So you just say, repeat after me, dear Jesus, please forgive me for every sin I ever committed. And then you go, here's your Z-Pack or whatever.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Body and the blood, yeah.
That is awesome. And are you two married?
Yes.
And did you meet there in Amazon?
We actually did meet in the Amazon.
Yeah. That's so cool.
Yes, it is very rare to see someone else not only practicing medicine in the Amazon, not only wearing the exact same outfit as you, but also to be such a huge Christian. Yeah. And a member of the church.
What? And that you have similar missions. You're there doing the same thing. You have the same passion.
Exactly.
See, I would have thought that you started dress. You know how they say the longer you're with someone, you start to look alike, dress alike, talk alike, all that.
Yeah.
You were already dressed.
He already had long hair.
Yeah.
Wow. Really? I really do like that long hair on you. It looks good.
Thank you. Yeah. And I will say there is now, we actually have grown apart a little because she has a net.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So her head has a net, mine doesn't. And that has been a huge sticking point.
Well, because of malaria, you got to.
Yeah.
Oh, so you pull the net down over your face so the skeeters can't bite you?
Yeah, but you know how men are. Yeah. They always like to take risks.
I won't stop for directions, and I will not try to combat malaria with a netting.
No. Well, do you sleep under a mosquito net?
I do.
Yes, she does.
Yeah.
I will
and
not.
And you won't. You just say.
She just nets and then gets into the regular bed, and I go, well,
here we go.
Oh,
he sleeps on the net.
Yeah, I'll sleep on the net.
On top of the net.
Oh, see, that's hard because then you can't move
if I have to go to the bathroom.
It's tricky.
So what we ended up doing is we put a little tiny, well, they don't really use toilets there, but they use this little, like a pot. So there's a pot under my net, and it works.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So she just pots.
Oh, and so you use
everyone pots.
You do it like a chamber pot, and then you have to like take it out in the morning?
You take it out in the morning.
I'll get it for her. She gets tangled. She can be very tangled.
Now that's love, taking out somebody's chamber pot?
Oh, absolutely.
Wow. Yeah.
She does it for me on my birthday.
That's how people live down there.
Oh, yeah.
They have to, is all they know.
What a great story.
Do you have to boil your water? Is the water all contaminated down there?
Oh, the water's a nightmare there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just full of parasites. But yes.
Yeah, and she insists on using some sort of filtration. I will again. Classic stick in the mud. I'll just you know, try to get it off the very top.
So the top of the water is usually the cleanest part.
That's where you want to drink from.
Okay, really. Yeah.
Now how do you bathe?
Well,
just sort of like here. Well, I guess it's been so long, I guess it's not like here.
Yeah.
You take the very top of the water from the bowl, and you sort of cup it, like the way you know a kitten drinks from the top. You cup it with your hand. You scoot that over to a separate bowl. You do that 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 bowls. Just take the top of the top of the water from the, and then you put it in a separate bowl. Then I boil it. He doesn't.
I will never.
Wow.
Well, come on. You're adding 20 minutes to your day for something that might not even happen.
Really?
And then you pour it over yourself in a place that, you know, that's not a bed or whatever. He had to learn when he went down there. You don't want to pour it over inside the house because then the water goes on the floor.
Yeah.
Right. And have you ever gotten sick from not doing any of these things?
Yeah. I mean, you're going to get very sick from just being down there in general. You're going to get very sick.
He also doesn't get vaccinations.
Come on. What, I need my mommy? No, I mean, I will not get vaccinated, and I will, I've been probably on death's door there once every 6 months.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's
not
fun. Yeah.
No, it's no picnic.
Wow.
But we don't even know if that's related to the practices, other than the fact that... That Bette has not gotten sick.
That is so great. So what are some of the things that are happening right now with your ministry in the Amazon, in the village? Do you stay in one village?
For a while, yeah. Okay. We'll plan ourselves in the village until the village starts to show improvement medically and spiritually.
Yeah.
And then you'll move on to some other village.
Migrate to another village.
And then usually we'll go back to the original village to check in and make sure that they're still good.
We compare it a lot to franchising like a fast food restaurant.
Oh, really?
Sure.
Yeah. You open one and then you go off and you open another, and then you come back and make sure that, you know, they're still using the gloves and, you know, all that sort of stuff.
And did you become multilingual, or do you have translators?
No, all I can't. It's too much.
It's insane. The language barrier is enormous.
And yeah. They probably have all kinds of different tribal things and all that too, huh?
They might.
Probably, yeah. I mean, again, we're not hyper focused on that. Yeah. We're not granular. You can't be.
Yeah.
And how long have you been down there?
How many years? 40 years for me.
Oh, really?
I've been about 36 years, I'd say.
I was down there for
but
40
I also,
years.
My memory, a lot of, there's a lot of holes in my memory as
is
far
from
as
the malaria.
Yes. Yeah, the malaria is a brain eater, and it'll get you bad and forever. So a lot of, you know, I don't remember a lot of specifics about my childhood or about May. There's a lot of stuff that's missing.
So basically with protocols, everything has to run through me because he will administer some things that are not.
Yeah, I'm a yes man. Yes.
Now, when Twin Hill sends down the packages of all the supplies and the medical needs and the prescriptions and
Bibles.
I try to always make sure they throw in some fun stuff that you can't get down there, you know, Doritos and whatnot. Like, what are your favorite things to get? We'll try to make sure we send them down in your care packages.
Toilet paper is unbelievable.
Oh, so great.
A rifle. Mm-hmm. Things can get very dangerous with
Colombia, especially.
Yeah.
It's mostly kidnappers down there. And then a few that aren't, but even the kids will kidnap you. Yeah. I got kidnapped by a kid when I was there.
What?
Yeah.
So we were saying we didn't even know what to call that.
Yeah.
Was it at knife point? What?
No, they just had a toy gun, but I was so tired. So I went along because I didn't. And then later, I found out from the police. It's called the Policia or something like that. They said, you know, it was a toy gun. I said, I just didn't have the time to really.
Did they torture you?
No, not really. They put me in a crate for a while. But
you were so tired. You said you conked out.
I needed the rest. Yeah. You know what I said? Thank you, Lord. You work in mysterious ways because I slept. Oh, I slept like a baby. And normally I'm working nonstop because, you know, Derek is sick. And so
you are like a prisoner of war, a warrior for Christ.
And what were you doing at that time, Derek, while she was sleeping
in the
crate?
Yeah, were you worried? Did you
being kidnapped
think she
by
was
the kid?
Dead?
I at that time, if memory serves, and it probably doesn't, I believe I was painting the side of one of the churches or I was on death's door. Again, it's so hard to get chronology eludes me.
And depending on how big the church is, those could be the same thing.
Yeah.
Potentially. Yeah, without question. I will say, when I saw her, I thought, it's been a while.
I could sense
that I hadn't seen her in a little bit.
And did you find her?
I found her when they brought her back. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Again, I mean, it's a painting a church takes, it's not a day, it's days.
Right.
Did they want a ransom or what was it?
You know, because of the jibber jabber that they speak, I don't know. But I do know that they were running around. I think that they wanted food because they kept putting their hands to their mouth, food, like, you know, the symbol for food.
Yeah.
And I said, listen, guys, that's not what I do. I said, if any of you have an infection, I'm happy to take a look at it. And they just looked at me blankly because they don't speak English yet.
Mm. It's part of the problem with getting the care packages, too, is that you walk down the street with, you know, Doritos and toilet paper, you're a target.
Sure, you're going to get jumped.
Yeah,
and my skin color also, they recognize that. They see that.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. I bet you really stand out down there. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got this platinum blonde, almost silver white hair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You must be a real anomaly to them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. I knew that I was going to be kidnapped a few times. And I said, you know what, Lord, you've done everything for me. It's just my body.
Yeah. And turns out you can use the rest.
Yeah.
And were you ever kidnapped again?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. That was actually not the first time.
Oh, really?
No. No, that's something you have to understand when you're doing the Lord's work, is that, sometimes, you know, you'll go for a ride of your life. And you know what? I looked at these kids every time. It was always...
It's
been kids. But, you know what I say is, like, oh, you know what? We'll see what happens.
That's what they do over there. In all these places that aren't the United States, they make child soldiers.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Don't they?
Oh, yeah.
And you, and I think kids are more dangerous maybe than even adults, because remember how cruel kids were in school? They're so cruel.
They would make faces.
In the defense of some of the children, though, I will say most of the times it turns out these kids aren't armed or looking to kidnap
that's very true. That is very true, because one time they didn't have a weapon.
Oh, yeah.
I was living in their house for weeks, and someone said, you know,
she was a hostage.
Yeah. Oh. And they said, they didn't have you hostage. I said, well, I can't understand a word they said in a way. I assumed that when they were following me, they were trying to push me in like a pack, like a little pack of animals. I went inside the house and I said, somebody will come and get me. And I think, Derek, you eventually figured it out and sent someone.
I did. It took ages. And then I, like an animal missing an owner, I said, something's not right. And knew that there was an issue.
So when you were in medical school in the United States, did you always think, hey, we're not going to be doctors here. We're going to go down to a place like Amazon and be doctors there?
You know, the path you chart as far as your medical life can be a very sort of jagged path. And, you know, I think that the truth is that, you know, we never went the traditional route of, you know, medical school. I mean, medical school I mean, especially if you are thinking about trying to sort of, you know, help people, there's a timely urgency to all this. You know, you want to get down there, spread the word, help these people. I mean, you don't have 8 years of your life to give up for that. So,
what was your medical training?
Well, they were, Bet's a vet. We call her a veterinarian. And, I am also a veterinarian, but my name doesn't start with the Bet, so it just is a veterinarian.
Oh, so you're both veterinarians.
Yes. Yeah. I'm a dentist.
Yes. Derek specializes.
I'm a dental vet.
I'm a dental vet.
Dental vets are important. I've got corgis and Frenchies, and I always have to go get them knocked out and scraped.
I can do it while they're up, if you want me to do
that
before
we
leave.
He's that good.
We have a little bit of time.
It's so rare that we need to do that in Amazon. It'll actually probably be fun for him.
I think that's just a God thing where the two of you, you're both vets.
Yeah.
You go down to the Amazon. You're working as doctors.
You're wearing khaki. You both have the hats.
And then you find each other.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's a God thing. That's not a coincidence.
We say that all the time.
And you know what? None of those people have medical care. They probably are happy to have a vet. Even if you were just a nurse or you could be one of those big guys who just lift up the old people in the old folks' home. You could just be a strong person and they'd be like, yeah, help me out.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
I also wonder if it's maybe, you're very beautiful, Bet. You have this ivory skin and these big blue eyes. I wonder if kids are just coming up and holding your hand and you think they're stealing you and taking you home. Maybe they're just trying to hold your hand.
That's what one of the police officers said, and it's a good point, and it's something I'm going to be more aware of.
But the last family pressed charges against you because they thought that you were
thought that I was living, because it was a bunch of kids that were squatting and I was living in the vacant house with them. And then later they said, this woman is blowing our cover. I guess they went to the police and they said, a woman won't leave, is I think how it went. I didn't know any of this because I don't speak a word of whatever they're saying. It's amazing to me going down there. I'll tell you something. Nobody ever asks when they're laying there and you're helping them when they're sick, hey, are you a vet? No one's going to ask that.
No.
Really?
No.
And do you think the bodies are the same, similar? Because if you can work on an animal,
The only difference, we always say this, a tail.
Yeah.
Wow.
The only difference is a tail. What? Man doesn't have a tail.
And that's just an extra vertebrae that's long and wags?
I don't know what the hell it is. I really don't. But it is not on a human. So
that's true.
Yeah, it is... So that's and it's actually a luxury to not have to deal with the tail.
The tail is a lot of the medical training, actually.
Oh, yeah. The tail's half of it.
I've felt a pig before and thought that it felt human-like.
Yeah. If you shave any animal, you realize.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sometimes a pit bull thigh feels like a human thigh.
Not careful,
When you listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, the comedy podcast, you get a belly full of laughs and a head full of real information. Our gallimaufry of expert guests answer questions on stuff adults need to know. I have mold in my dwelling, What do I do? What's gerrymandering? What happens chemically when I fall in love? How do I handle a parent-teacher conference? What are microbes? Listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. Solve problems, get laughs.
Did you know Jesus and Christ specifically before you went to the Amazon, or were you, had you always been Christians?
Yeah,
or
did you go down there with Mission of Christ?
Right.
Yes, in a word. Yeah, we went. We went down there because two reasons, and we found this out obviously after we met that we had dinner and said, "Why did you come?" We said, "Those are the same two reasons," and the two reasons were one. We wanted to help spread the word of Christ and Jesus and the church, to anyone who would have us or have the words of the good book there. The second is we wanted to go somewhere where they would let bet you are doing the thing again.
Sorry.
I can just tell the sound guy's losing his mind over here. And the second thing we wanted, the second thing we had on our list was we wanted to practice medicine somewhere that would legally allow us.
Yeah.
And that was not here.
It's very stressful. It's very, very stressful trying to practice somewhere where everyone's telling you, no, you can't, you're going to get sued. You're not allowed to practice. You don't legally have a license in the state to work on humans, whatever it is.
But you know what I say? I say a mammal's a mammal. An infection's an infection. An incision's an incision.
Completely agree.
You know?
Completely agree. Again, the only difference is a tail.
Wow.
Yeah, humans don't have tails.
I mean, what are the chances that you both wear khaki, you both wear those field hats, you both are vets, you've been both called to the Amazon, and you discover that you both are Christ followers?
Yeah.
It was, we said when we saw each other, we said, this is crazy.
Yeah.
You know, this must be a God thing, and I should put you in touch with my friend Clay Mason Bannerman, who, you know, just lost a friend in a flying jet ski accident.
Sorry to hear about that.
That's okay. But his son has a vestigial tail, so...
That's right. Gray was trying to just do a funny joke and kind of de-pantsed him.
Right.
Not knowing, and then everybody saw.
A nub.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's in military school now, so I'm sure, you know, I'm sure nobody's...
Maybe the military will pay for it, and you could get paid to remove his tail.
That would be, we would love to do that. I mean, again, the only constraint is we would have to go to Costa Rica or something to actually do the procedure.
How would you remove a tail?
I mean, you know, the truth is normally with a canine, you know, they're not going to be able to say anything to you.
Right.
So as far as a human tail removal, this would be a first. But normally what we do is we just drug the dog and then just take, you know, like a axe and cut it off.
I stopped doing it because I felt like the kids needed this care more.
Yeah.
Honestly, for my time, because I was so busy. When people say, could you get rid of my dog's tail? I said, I just don't have time.
Yeah.
Well, I could imagine, you know, maybe one fast way to do it, and it happens over time, is just put a really tight rubber band around it at the point you want it gone.
Uh-huh.
You know, a too tight rubber band, and then just give it time.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good way to handle it. That's a, what do they call that again? A life hack. That's a life hack.
That's cool.
Yeah, I think we actually watched a whole thing on life hacks on our friend's iPad the other day. We don't have any technology down there, so we miss a lot of stuff.
You know what's interesting? Now that we're talking about Clay Mason's kid, I have one of my kids has a third nipple, and it's lined up. It's kind of down on the abdomen. Mm-hmm. It's lined up with where the top two are.
Yeah,
then there's
yeah.
just one in the line, almost like a mammal, female mammal. They have them in lines.
Well, I've seen multiples on people in line. It almost makes you feel like there might be evolution, and then you realize that's impossible.
That's impossible because
what Bet has started to do sometimes is give anyone with a third option a decision.
Mm.
Do you want to get one taken off? Do you want to add three?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Get a set and you know, really tie the room together or remove it. It's a vanity.
It really just looks like, I used to think it was just a mole because it's not the whole areola or whatever it's called. It's just the sticky out point, the pointy,
that's the term,
because of once again resources down there. I try not to focus on that. I'll say put a sticker on it, and then they say, what's a sticker? And then I just say I don't have time, because usually Derek's so sick. We just don't have
9 months out of the year. I can't
Yeah, so removing nipples is not right now, not at the moment. Would I love someday to be just doing that in Amazon, talking about God? Yes. Yeah. But I'm treating children who are literally just disintegrating in my fingers.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, how long have you been married?
Oh, 35.
35 years. And did you get married down there? Did you do it up here
in
the States?
We did a ceremony down there.
Yeah. Oh, that's so beautiful.
It was gorgeous. Yeah.
Is it a different tradition down there? Like you have to jump off a bridge and like slap each other in a high five or something and you're married?
Or it's vastly different.
Yeah. What do you do?
It's a big ceremony under trees.
Huge ceremony.
And there's a tea that you drink.
Oh, cool.
And everyone drinks
a
tea.
Tea out of a leaf.
And they have mashed it for hours and hours. They use a root and a leaf. And it's, I don't really understand it, but
they combine them.
It is. Oh, and then I remember it just, the whole world turns a beautiful shade of pink. And then you see the lines that connect everything. It's almost like geometric shapes. Everything's kind of connected by these lines.
Wow.
Yeah, and it all sort of lays before you and you're able to communicate without using words. And it dawned on us that the, you know, only condition that we needed to live our lives by was love and, you know, the spreading of that. And
now that is a God thing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that is a God thing.
We went, and this lasted.
We went vegetarian.
We went vegetarian.
And we still
feel
guilty.
You decided to do the net, too. Yeah. Right after that, you came out. You said, I'm going to wear a net.
Yeah.
You were so sure of it.
How long did that last after you drink that tea that you're seeing all those connected lines and pink stuff?
Each tea lasts about 8 hours.
And my goodness.
Yeah, we probably did six to eight teas.
Whoa.
Yeah. You can't stop.
Really?
Oh, yeah. That's talk about Pringles. No, this is that you, once you have one of these, you want more.
Wow. And it's like a religious ceremony?
Religious for those people.
Yeah.
It's, they wear outfits.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes. And we got individual tattoos on our back, tribal tattoos.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. You are, I mean, you're just sort of in their world. And you continue to say yes. You got your chin pierced.
Yes.
I noticed that. That's cool.
Yeah. And we, it was
I didn't even hurt. That's the weird part.
It was a non-traditional Christian ceremony, we like to say.
That's what we tell people.
Did you wear a tux and a white dress, or were you in your khakis, or what'd you do?
We didn't have the resources
for
the tux, because had we ordered those, and the medicine wouldn't have come, because it's a box that we receive every month.
Yeah, exactly. And you strip everything off the second that you're probably 4 hours under the first cup.
You don't want clothes on you. It makes you feel disconnected from God.
Yeah, they feel like they're weighting you down. Yeah. There's no need for them.
Well, good thing you were married if you were naked in front of each other. Was this the reveal?
The
moment
reveal,
of
the big reveal.
The honeymoon night.
Well, everyone who was there does it. And when you know, it's so funny. When everyone is doing something, you kind of get lost in the numbers.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Who administers the tea? Who gives you the tea?
Well, for us, one of the kids that I had been living with for a little while, he was the one who gave us the tea.
So you found out about this, yeah.
Really? And so, he was the person who missed. But, you know, it's really kind of a common thing there. Every, like, full moon, every half moon, every new moon, they'll do a ceremony. And we said, well, it's our wedding. We should probably see what this tea is about.
Yeah.
Okay, so at least 3 times a month.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I mean, if I'm up...
Wow.
Yeah, you know, again, like we said, a lot of the year I'm out. Yeah, but I could still do a ceremony sometimes when I'm in the grips of malaria, but it is difficult.
Really?
Yeah.
That is fascinating. I've never had anything like that. Is it caffeinated?
I don't know.
I don't know, but you're certainly up.
You're up.
You're up.
And you're you know, it's so amazing. You know, when you're sleeping, in the middle of your dream, you realize that you are in a dream.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, well, if I'm in a dream, you know, I should go fly. I should go do this. I would say this tea feels like the opposite. You're awake and suddenly you feel a little bit like you're dreaming.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And there's a lot of thoughts that happen during a ceremony like this. Like you start to question the, you know, specificity of religion and God himself. And, you know, where does it all come from? And is it all really...
Yeah, that's why we had to stop.
Yeah, we sort of said, whoa, well, here we are questioning the Bible. We're married, let's move forward. And and we did, but we still do a ceremony when about every moon change.
Yeah,
I've actually never had a dream that I remember, except for one recurring dream where I clean jerked 3:30. I've had that about I've had that about once a week for 10 years. But other than that, I've never had a dream I remember.
That's lifting weights?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. 330 pounds?
Yeah.
Is that a lot to lift?
Oh, it's a lot to clean jerk. Yeah. I don't know a single person who could clean jerk 330.
Yeah. Really? No one in the world?
Yeah. I don't even know what it is, but sounds impossible.
So settle a bet, okay? This is something I've been talking about to my husband, Lance Levant.
That's my life, settling a bet.
Is that right?
Well, it's a play on my name. Keep going.
Well, because you two are servants, you're Christ servants out there in the world, bringing the good news of the gospel to the savages, you might know a little bit about service. It's funny because, speaking of you being married, I want to know what your love languages are, because my husband, Lance Levant, and I were always having to talk about our love languages, because he never compliments me or notices when I do my hair up and I put on a lipstick and I'll wear a dress. I'll even put some Spanx on underneath. I'll suck it in. I'll tighten it up. I'll put it in. I'll come in and I'll be standing with my arm up in the air. I'll be one hand on my hip. I'll be turning around, flaring my dress, and he'll look up and go, "What?" And I'll say, "Lance, if you see something, say something." And he'll be like, "Oh," and you know, that's his thing, to be like, "Oh, you look nice," or whatever. Because my love languages are words of affirmation and gifts. So the way I feel loved is if you give me a gift or if you say nice things to me, compliments and whatnot. But his love languages are acts of service and quality time. So here he's doing all these acts of service for me. He's giving me all his quality time. He's doing the dishes. He's making sure that my oil's changed in my Lexus and all that stuff. And that's him showing me that he loves me. But I'm like, "Hey, you didn't even notice I put rollers in my hair, you know?"
Yeah.
Do you ever experience that? This is our first married couple.
Oh,
I'm so excited.
Actually, that's true.
Yeah, so what are your love languages?
I mean, looking back, I realized that for me, my love language is like a little soft hand kind of just touching me.
Oh, physical touch.
Yeah, like a little gentle, tiny
kind
hand.
Like a kid hand.
Yeah, just sort of, or you know, or chewing gum, anything like that, I'll boom, I'm with you, I'm following you. Oh. And I think now I have to be careful because it's my love language has got me kidnapped so many times. Because a lot of times these kids would offer me gum and they would give me a piece of gum and then they'd walk further along and then they'd go, they'd hold up a pack of gum and I'd go, "Oh," and I'd walk down the road a little longer. And before I know it, I'm in a house squatting with them. I don't know how to get home. I'm lost. I feel at that point I'm trapped. So what I realized recently is I need to look at why, or at least what my love languages are. Who knows why? Yeah. Everybody loves gum. That's not weird. But, you know, you have to kind of check in with yourself. That's so now true. I'm going to do maybe not those things. Maybe it's, I don't know, honestly, because we are soft animal bodies and we like what we love.
That's, isn't that right? But you know what? It's good that you're saying that in front of Derek, because now Derek can be at the store and notice a pack of gum and say, "You know what? I'm going to pick this up and I'm going to offer gum to my lovely wife. Or I'm going to, you know, I'm going to reach my little hand into her hand and I'm going to hold her hand."
Yeah.
And then you'll feel so loved.
Yeah. His hands aren't that little, though. But they are.
A huge
yeah.
complaint of hers.
Those are big hands. Those are really big hands, which I'm sure
yeah,
is good to.
Yeah, they're meaty. Yeah. They're meaty.
They're man hands. It's not his fault.
It's probably because you've pulled out so many canine teeth.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If these hands could talk.
When I met him, he had it looked like a puka shell necklace. But what I found out later is it was just little tiny dog teeth.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's very sweet.
Yeah. Oh, that's really cool.
I had a couple of them. I'd sell them. But yeah, I had a lot. I love to be nurtured.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And part of that is that I'm just kind of a sweetheart, you know, who likes to be cared for and, you know, likes to feel that. And then part of it is that, you know, my policies as far as vaccinations and safety goes in the Amazon, it's left me many times debilitated and bedridden. And
in need of care and nurture.
In complete need of not only nurture, suture. Someone to physically clean me and, you know, take care of me. And that
you get bed sores and all that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'll have to wear diapers sometimes, so.
Yeah, and I'm not even aware of a lot of this. I kind of wake up out of a coma-ish state. Yeah. Wow.
It's nice, though, because I've never had children. And in a way, I get to feel that feeling because I'll be changing his diapers and I'll go, you know, in a lot of ways, he is my little baby.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they don't put all that in the vows, do they? That you're going to be cleaning some stinky bed sores and you're going to be changing some diapers.
Not in ours, that's for sure. Ours was so not traditional.
Yours was drink up, bottoms up.
Bottoms up, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's real cool. So are you even like technically married in the eyes of the United States government?
We didn't sign any American documents.
No, I think, you know, one of the things we love about going to the Amazon down there from Africa is that, you know, we there were married. We're doctors. You know, we are doing great. We come back here, it's a little different, you know? We're...
struggling.
Single non-doctors. Wow. You know, we're a couple of vets who haven't worked in America in a long time.
Yeah. You know, and here, kids don't even notice me. You know, here, they'll walk right by you. Really? Like, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
You get used to it, you know, being kind of the head turner.
Uh-huh.
And here, it's like just a, like an old lady here.
Yeah. Oh. No, it's not the same. You complain about that all the time, that the kids here just don't even bat an eye at her.
No. Well, it's a thing in the United States. I feel like kids are so disrespectful of age.
I'll put up my arm and not a kid will stroke it.
Yeah. Oh. But and we've also talked about the, you know, level of how much you need to push it and how much you shouldn't push it, you know, because I think the thing that happens in the Amazon is it kind of organically happens.
You're right.
Coming on a little strong.
I asked a child yesterday at Walmart if they wanted to stroke my face, and the mother thought that was very strange. And then Derek pointed out that it was strange here.
Yeah, right. But not on the Amazon.
Not at all. I mean, well, it is strange there, but it's extremely strange here.
Well, the people there, they don't even know what their kids are doing or where they are they? You know, so the parents there aren't engaged.
I mean,
they don't even have car seats.
Yeah, I don't know. You never know because I can't understand anything they're saying. Not a word.
Well, just like Jesus reached down and healed a leper, I'm reaching into the mailbag, everybody. Here we go. Dear Twin Hillers, hi, from Aurora. I love listening to your biblical wisdom and input. I'm writing with a really big concern. My husband used to smoke marijuana before we met. He stopped when we started dating, but recently he's brought up wanting to start again. We do live in Colorado where it's legal. However, I am strongly against any substance abuse as I believe it's a sin. How do I submit to my husband while saying no to his drugs? Iris. That's a hard one.
That's such a painful place to be when you're with someone and they're doing something that, hey, it might be legal, but a lot of things are legal that are going to separate you from God.
That's right.
You know, it's not illegal to drink gasoline, but you know what?
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to love God after that.
Mm-hmm. It's not illegal to sleep with another man's wife, but guess what? The creator of the universe is very deeply wounded by that.
Right, right. You know, Hallie, I think what I would say to this person is two things. One, you got to get out of Colorado. You got to go to a place that's near Colorado that's going to be a bit more in line with your values. Go to Utah.
Mm-hmm.
Go to Idaho. Go to Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you're there, you're going to say, hey, well, now it is against the law. So, hey, bud, you can't be doing that.
Yeah.
The other thing that I would say, and I've heard of a lot of people doing this, is if you see him with, and you know, I've done this with a lot of my kids who, you know, say, hey, I smoke weed, I'm cool, I do cannabis. Well, I say, hey, you're going to do it in front of me. And then I make them eat an entire packet of oregano in front of me.
There you go.
And it tastes awful. So, I would just tell them to, you know, get out of Colorado.
Yeah. I would go one of two ways with this one, Iris. I'll tell you what. We are called to submit to our husbands as to the Lord. But, you know, here's the thing. I feel like, you know, they do this with gay conversion. What they do is they have, you know, if it's a boy who thinks he likes boys, they have him look at a picture of a handsome man and then they freeze him or burn him with little picks, pricks and pokes and all that. Maybe what you do is say, you know what, honey? Why don't you go ahead and smoke that marijuana cigarette? Why don't you go ahead and, you know, however you do the marijuana. And then as soon as he does, you hold a ice cube up against the palm of his hand for as long as you can. Or you put your curling iron, you get your curling iron real hot and you burn him with your curling iron. And you know what? He's going to start to associate marijuana with being burned or frozen. He's not going to enjoy it.
It actually happened to me when I was living with the children for a while during the times that I was kidnapped. Some of them brought back a big package of crack, cocaine.
Oh.
Yeah. And I said, oh, you know, and I thought about what you said, Gray, which is if you're going to do it, you better do it all. And that's what I said. I said, if this is going to be in my house, because at that point it felt like it was my house. I said, if this is going to be in my house, you're going to do it all tonight. And so they all did it all in one night. We all did it because I was like, I wasn't going to make them do something I wouldn't do. And we all did it in one night. And I just remember feeling like that showed them.
Yep. Yep. Were they crying and barfing and all that?
No, everyone was having a very, very good time. But I felt like, you know, they got it. Like that was more than they, because we were up for about 48 hours straight.
Oh, you couldn't get them to go to bed?
No, because when you do this, I don't know if you've, when you do it, it gives you energy. It's a lot like coffee.
Oh,
keeps
really?
You up. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, but after they said, you know what, Bet, that really, they didn't say this, but I felt like they're like, we're never going to, they never brought it back to the house again,
that's
ever.
That's good. See, you did it.
And you stay there for 2 more weeks.
Yeah.
Our guests today were played by Gareth Reynolds and Jet Evelith. You can follow Gareth Reynolds at Gareth Reynolds. His incredible podcast is called The Dollop. Check it out. Jet Evelith leads Clown Church LA. She is one of the most brilliant performers and teachers of all time. One of my absolute best friends and one of the most hilarious people I know. I love her. Follow her at Clown Church LA. I'm Holly Laurent playing Hallie Labonte, and Gray Haas is played by Greg Hess. Our incredible producer is Ryan Countshouse. Follow us on your favorite form of social media and send a letter to our mailbag at megathepodcast@gmail.com. Please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. And if you like the podcast, please support us on Patreon.